And now we're really special also treat. I'm just so glad Herschel and Lita are here. I miss them. I don't think we voted to let them leave, did we? But it's good to have them back. And if Herschel's in town, we're taking advantage of it. So Herschel's going to bring us the word and share some things about Jeff, I think. So anyway, just really privileged to have them here. Come on up, HL.
Oh, give me a hug.
I miss these guys.
Good morning. Oh, how wonderful it is. What a joy it is to be here today and spend a few moments together. I might look. You know, we have some of our charter members still hanging on and showing up. Wow. And then many of those of you that came into fellowship while I was here and what's transpired since then. You know, the Apostle Paul, it is estimated that the Apostle Paul's favorite congregation was probably the Philippian church. He speaks so fondly of it and expresses the fact that he thinks of them and prays for them often. I want you to know you're my Philippian church. I love you guys, and I keep tabs on you guys and the pastor. And I'm delighted to see what God's doing in your presence right now. My assignment today is, I had hoped when we knew that we were coming that I would have a moment or two to extend our greetings from our son and family, Jeff, Kelsey, and the boys, we call them, the four G's, Gardner, Gideon, Gabe, and Gio. And so I was hoping to be able to do that, but then the pastor dropped the bomb on me yesterday that he had asked me to preach, and so we'll see how that goes. It might be off the cuff a bit. But Jeff and Kelsey, I talked with him early this morning, bright and early this morning, from a barn loft at the Durham's place. And he was 10,000 miles away in the Republic of Georgia. And he said, please, please, please send the church my greetings. And so I send you the greetings to him. I want to just give you a brief update as to what's going on. Of course, this church has supported Jeff and his family and ministry from the very first time Jeff set foot on the ground in China. It's been something like 22 years now, I suppose. I don't know the exact numbers. But this church jumped in from the beginning and has consistently served. 17 years in China, there's where he met his bride, and some of his kids were born in China. And then after about 17 years of that, COVID hit, and he was exiled from China, never to return. And then following COVID, they entered the Republic of Georgia and have seen incredible things happening. God is using them in incredible ways. I wish I had a whole hour to tell you about it, but what appeared to be a blank sheet when they arrived there, there's nothing before them, for them at least in ministry. They found themselves amidst of a multi-cultural ministry that involved, well, there happened to be a little conflict happened just to the north of them, you know. They border on the south, they border Russia, and then to the north and west of them is Ukraine, then to the east of them is Azerbaijan, south of them is Turkey. So they're surrounded in this hotbed of events, and they suddenly found themselves in their home hosting refugees from Ukraine, hosting refugees from Russia, not at the same time. and have found themselves in a multicultural ministry involving a lot of international students who have come to Georgia for education. And God has been doing some amazing things. They needed a place to meet, a place where they could have these activities taking place. And out of the blue, you might say, God gave them a multipurpose facility. They have titled it The Open Door, and all kinds of ministries are taking place in, about, and around there. And I wish I could tell you more right now, but I need to keep silent. God has just opened up a brand new ministry that they had no expectation of. It suddenly it lands in their lap. And he will be sending out a missive shortly to you, telling you more about it. But right now I must kind of remain silent. I don't want to steal his thunder. So here's what I want to do. He sends his greeting to you, and I thank you for the faithful support that you have given to that ministry. Your prayer, your finances, all of that, it's been amazing. So let's send his greetings back. So I'm going to count to three, and everybody say, greetings, okay? Loud, okay. One, two, three, greetings. I will pass that on to Jeff shortly. Is there anybody here that is willing to admit that you're this old, that you graduated from high school in, let's say, 1961? Howard? What high school? Los Angeles? Ooh, way to go, guy. Is anybody here, anybody else from 61? What high school? Okay, that's okay. 1961. Does anybody graduate from high school in 1963? Okay, what high school? California. Great, great, okay. College High School, Bartlesville, Oklahoma. Class of 63, go Wildcats. In 1961, I want to back up a minute. I guess we better get some scripture here. I want to read a passage of scripture, just a short one. And it's a very important scripture. It's a profound piece of scripture. It's from the Apostle Paul as he's writing to a group of churches that were located in what we would call today Eastern Turkey. In those days, it was called the Galatians. And in this, Paul is admonishing the church to stop their foolishness and turn around again and accept Christ alone by faith. But in the fourth chapter, the fourth verse, this is what he says, and this is what I want us to focus on for a moment. I want us to listen intently to this. Chapter 4, verse 4, he says, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive full rights as sons. Now that's out of the Pew Bible. I think it must be the NIV. Let me read that first part again. When the time had fully come. One other translation, I believe it's the older RSV, says, when the time had fully come, God sent forth his son. Now, a Bible scholar out of the 20th century by the name of James Stewart wrote a small book focusing on that passage of scripture, and in it he details what that means, at least his argument as to what that means. And his argument is that this time was perfect geographically, because during that time, the area of Palestine would have basically been at the center of the known universe, the Roman Empire and that beyond, that it was a central location. Doesn't seem to us today that's the center of the universe, but it was then. Linguistically, there was one language, the Greek language that has infected. So everybody pretty much spoke the same language. Has never been that way since. And he goes on and to list these different ways. Travel, the Roman Empire gave us the Roman roads. Travel gave us shipping lanes that allowed this to be the perfect time. God's timing is perfect. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, so God sent his son at just the right time. Now let's back up to high school. In 1961, a young country and western singer recorded a new song for the first time, and it became a big hit. 1961. In 1963, the young songwriter and singer that had written that song also recorded it. That was my time, 1963. The singer's name you might recognize was Willie Nelson. And the song that he wrote was "Ain't It Funny How Time Slips Away." Let me quote the first verse. I'm not going to sing it. "Well, hello there. My, it's been a long, long time. How am I doing? Oh, I guess that I'm doing fine. It's been so long now, and it seems like it was only yesterday. Ain't it funny how time slips away?" A little bit after that, not long, a rock and roll group by the name of the Byrds recorded another song that was written by Pete Siegel. And Pete Siegel obviously stole it, or let's say plagiarized it, from ancient Hebrew literature, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The name of it was "Turn, Turn, Turn. For everyone there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to weep, and a time to laugh." You know the drill, you know the rest. As human animals, human beings, created in the image of God, we are held bondage to time. Time and space. We really can't think outside the box of time. Oh, a dog knows what time it is, when it's time to eat, and knows when it's time to go outside and take care of business, hopefully. Cats, the same. They know when to go in and start pawing your face to wake you up. Fish know when it's time to swim upstream and spawn. Birds know when it's time to fly south or fly north. But human beings, we're limited to time and space. It's all about timing in our lives. We waste time. We focus most of our lives around time. I suspect that there is a time limit on this sermon. I have to tell you, back in Oklahoma, I bore people to death about this church. I'll be in a committee meeting, or I'll be talking with some people, and some topic will come up. And I'll say something like, Well, let me tell you about the mountain church. That's what I call you guys, the mountain church. And you can just see eyes rolling. Here we go again. One of the things I tell them about our church is that when it was time to preach, this church up here in the mountains was so kind and so generous that they let me preach as long as I want. They all left at 11 o'clock, but I got to preach as I want. Yesterday in this sanctuary, we spent some time recognizing and celebrating the life of a wonderful woman, Loretta Arnholt. Alan and family are with us here today. Lita and I have been privileged to know the family for 40 some years, it seems like, forever. At the same time, it's kind of interesting that I have a close friend who died back home in Oklahoma and whose memorial service was taking place at that same time. His name was Tim, and he as well was in his early middle 70s. Loretta was a bit older. But you might say for them and for many others around the world, for them, time ran out. The clock stopped ticking, if clocks still ticked. And you know, they had dreams. They had ideals. They had rivers to climb and challenges to overcome. They had obligations to meet, and they met them. And yet, it reached a point when, for them, time was up. And we know people besides Loretta and Tim and so many others who have as well died. Some died with families and friends close by, and some alone. Some die noble deaths, and some others perhaps not so much. But time ran out. And what we have of them now is a vapor. It is a memory and a reflection. I was sitting during the service here, and I looked at the communion table, and Mary Hiles came to my mind. Is that right? Mary Hiles. Yeah. I looked at the piano and I thought of Joel Wecky, who, in his memory. And all around here, I see Merv Johnson's fingerprints around here. We have these memories of people who have come and for whom time has ceased to be. But for us, the clock is still ticking. We may be battered, beat up a bit, bruised. Some of us have new hips, new shoulders, new knees. I'm going to do it. If you're willing to do it, how many of you have had a joint replacement? Okay. Great. Okay. I've had a shoulder replacement, and I also had three arteries replaced. That's not a joint, but it counts. And I've had a heart valve replaced. It's replaced with a bovine valve. Now, what that means, if you see in this sermon, every once in a while I break forth with a moo. It's because I'm part cow. We have new shoulders, new hips, all of this stuff. But we have time. We still have time. And as I speak these words to you, I want you to think in two ways. I want you to think in terms of yourself. You still have time. You may be 90 years old. You may be 20 years old. You still have time. But I want us to think as well as the church. You as, you got to be careful here, CFC. The church I'm a part of now is CCC. I get those. As CFC, we still have time. About 2,000 years ago, Jesus burst upon the scene and offered to the world and to you and to us an incredible gift. And that gift is timelessness, eternal life. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, the idea of timelessness is almost incomprehensible. I can't wrap my mind around experience without time. You know, 1,000 years sounds pretty good. 10,000 years sounds better. But we're not talking 10,000 years. We're talking no end to it. Forever. That's what he gives us. The latest, greatest space telescopes I found interesting as they peer off into the unknown. You know, over my lifetime, we've seen, we pretty well estimated now there are thousands of galaxies out there. And more recently, they're saying, there are millions of galaxies out there. And more recently, they come back and they say, this telescope, there are billions of galaxies out there. Well, somewhere along the line, they lose me. You know, I can't, what are they going to come up next? No, we were wrong. Now there's trillions of galaxies out there. And to think, Jesus, as we read from Paul in Galatians, Jesus bursts upon this scene at just the right, time to offer us timelessness. And all we really have to do is believe in Him. John 5:24, he who hears my word and believes on Him who sent me has timelessness, everlasting life. We sing songs, we preach sermons, we write books, poems, draw images, beautiful images. The evangelist John even wrote a book about it. Timelessness. But we still have time. For us, the book is not closed. Ahead of us are still some mountains to climb, rivers to forge, opportunities ahead, opportunities to do such things as repair broken relationships, whether they be family or friends. We have the opportunities to create new friends. What an opportunity it is for me to get acquainted with some of you that I don't recognize. I don't know. Well, I have to qualify that a bit. When you get to be my age, some phrases don't apply anymore. And one of those is, if memory serves. Enough said. To hug a neck. shake a hand, or simply be nice. Be nice to someone. There is still time to seize the day. And again, I speak that to us individually, but also to us as the body of Christ. So yes, we have fond memories of folks like Loretta and Terry. I think probably Loretta's greatest cause for sainthood is that she put up with Terry for all those years. My best friend. So as we go from this assembly, this time together, let's recognize the fact that God has given us yet again wonderful opportunity, more time to know Him, to discover our Lord and Savior, and establish a relationship with Him and with the church. We need to do that as a church body. We need to do that as individually. And we need to do it now. Because it's funny how time slips away. Thank you for this opportunity to share with you. I want you to know when I speak for Lita that we love you guys and we miss you. For those that you may not know, one of the primary reasons we moved away was because I had developed a dependency. I found I was dependent on oxygen. Just needed every little bit, but God is good. We hope to see you again sometime. May I pray the closing prayer? Is that Debbie? Oh, we're going to sing? Let me just look up what this says. Oh, benediction. Okay. All right. I would love to pray a prayer for you all. Would that be okay? Father, thank you for the privilege of sharing this time together. And yes, thank you for the memories, the past experiences that bond us together. And I thank you for the incredible work that Pastor Dieter and Georgia and the family are doing among us. I pray your richest blessing on them, and I pray it on all of these people, some that I know dearly and some I don't know at all. But bless them, use them, inspire them to take advantages of time that is yet. And we rejoice in you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.